Welcome to St Mary's Church in Halesworth and to the self-guided audio tour prepared for Halesworth Heritage Open Days 2021. We feature Sir William Argentine, born 1350, died 1419, the last in a major line of Argentines. He is descended from Sir David d'Argentin, who came to our shores with William the Conqueror in the invasion of Saxon England in 1066 and was rewarded with land and property. By the beginning of the 12th century, the assets and influence of this branch of the Argentines had extended to the east of England, where Reginald Argentine met and married the heiress, Rose of Halesworth. Station 1. Outside the tower door. The tower before us was completed in the early 15th century. You might have preferred to see the previous round tower, because of course that could have been Saxon and thus older. But the subject of this trail is Sir William Argentine, who, near the end of his life, was determined to complete a project to bring the church building up to date in what we now call the Gothic Perpendicular style, essentially increasing height, thus bringing the church building and the souls within closer to heaven. Facing us is the west door, where there are initial clues in the surrounding stonework of the man we're going to meet. The well-worn carvings you'll see at the ends of the arch would seem to be of animals. Just take a moment to consider what animals they might be. Animals are often used in heraldry, and current thinking is that these animals featured on his mother's family coat of arms. It is well recorded that William was illegitimate and that his mother was of noble birth. Following recent research into who she might be, we can suggest that the animal on the right is a lion, and on the left, possibly a bear. William would have had an interesting and privileged childhood, providing connections for his later career. There are various shields to be seen that once bore colourful symbols. The smaller shields inside the arch offer some indication in the carved hanging devices that they relate to his extended family. William was married three times. His first marriage to Isabel Kirdiston produced two sons, John and William. With these shields, William may be paying tribute to his family, or acknowledging their financial contributions to the build. Larger shields above the door could have borne religious symbols, but also, quite possibly, since this tower and its interior is a legacy project, have displayed both his mother and his father's coat of arms, the latter being three covered silver cups on a red background. Another possibility would be that the coat of arms of Edmund Ironside, from whom William is descended, stands alongside the Argentine coat of arms. If so, the one displaying silver emblems on red and the other gold emblems on blue, they would, 600 years ago, have looked quite stunning. Let's move on to Station 2. Enter the church by the south porch and make your way to the bell tower. At the top of the steps, on the right, look for headstops, either end of the arch over the door leading to the bell chamber. On the left, we see a probable depiction of Sir William Argentine, sculpted as the tower or shortly after the tower was built, in about 1415. On the opposite side of the arch would be his third wife, Marjorie, who died 8 years after her husband in 1427. Let us continue to explore Sir William's reordering of the church in the 37 years that he was Lord of the Manor and patron of the church. Taking care on the steps, please move to the font. Here is a good example of a 15th century octagonal font. It stands in the place once occupied by the earlier round Saxon tower. Looking first at the lower pedestal, you'll see symbols carved onto four sides of wood roses, men of the forest, well known in Suffolk as benign protectors. You'll see one holding a club, at the ready to ward off any threat. Alternating with them are beasts, which could represent guardian lions, a symbol of Christ, in medieval iconography. Above, four panels represent the evangelists: Matthew, the winged man, Mark, the lion, Luke, the ox, and John, the eagle. These alternate with emblems for the Trinity: Bury St. Edmund's Abbey and Christ's Passion. The final panel, facing the bell tower, displays a signature of the project, the Argentine coat of arms, the three covered cups. We now walk through the north exit to Station 3 and will view the porch entrance from the outside. We can date this entrance as about 1415. According to church history, it was built to celebrate William's safe return from the Battle of Agincourt. Begging the question, why, at the age of 65, would he be there? The porch was more likely to have been built in honour of his son and heir, also William, who had fought as a lancer under the banner of the 11th Earl of Suffolk, Michael de la Pole. Both William Senior and William Junior were to survive just a few more years, so William's recorded death being 1419. Looking at some of the details, you'll see St. Mary in the niche above the door. The church was then named St. Mary of the Assumption. Up until the Reformation, the church of Henry VIII's reign, this was a Catholic church. In 1534, it became a Church of England church, and the name changed to St. Mary the Virgin. Below Mary, and to the right, look for the shield representing the crucifixion, which is encompassed by an emblem to Mary, the five-petal red rose, which is thornless. Mother of the Son have been placed together with particular care. The head of a devil is carved above the entrance on the left, perhaps telling us to leave devilment outside when we enter the church. Above, symbolically, overpowering the devil is the emblem of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Headstops at the ends of the arch have eroded over time. Could they have been Sir William Argentine, Father, and William Argentine, Son? Now follow the path down the northeast corner of the church at Station 4. Notice that there are three buttress faces displaying niches. One facing north, badly weathered, shows Mary in a single niche above a double niche whose occupants can no longer be identified. We'll concentrate on the niche where the occupants can still be seen. These are most likely to be of Sir John Argentine IV and the mother of Sir William. The eroded but discernible coat of arms beneath her suggests a rose and horizontal crest on a bar, echoing a design on a shield in the chapel, which this niche abuts, as you will see later. The main family home was in Great Wymondley, in Hertfordshire. But Sir John Argentine had two families and an attachment to the manor at Halesworth, which he visited often. Resentment of this double life and changes of his will in favour of William persisted in his stepfamily beyond Sir William's lifespan. This may have some bearing on the repositioning of William's memorial slab and his father's brass later on. Now position yourself to look comfortably upwards to the ridge on the chapel roof. There you will see the head of a younger man looking eastwards. It is less refined than the sculpture below and possibly earlier. Whichever Argentine it depicts, a wife has been included in the dedication, her head looking towards the north. Continue now along the path by the east wall, stopping at the vestry window to view the headstops at the bottom of the arch ends. These are Victorian additions, added after the last expansion of the building at the end of the 19th century. Recent research gives us some indication of who they might be. We have learned that through his mother's line Sir William was ennobled, and that his lineage stretches back to the Wessex House of Royals, more precisely King Edmund II, Ironside. On the right, therefore, could be Edmund Ironside's granddaughter, Queen, also Saint, Margaret of Scotland. The very characterful face on the left, her husband, has features which matches well with the images of Scottish King Malcolm III. Following the path round the south side of the church, you will notice two more royal heads, again looking like depictions of real people. Continue along the path to the south porch entrance, station 5. Stopping at the entrance to look at the Victorian edition of headstops on the arch, there is the possibility that these heads being depictions of the Saxon king, Edmund Ironside, and Queen Enid. Now enter the church and turn right to walk down the south aisle to the Lady Chapel at station 6, taking care with a step down as you enter. On a pillar to the left of the altar table, you will see a shield showing a clear example of the covered cups. Originally, it would have been in colour, silver cups on a red background, devised soon after the Norman conquest. It denotes the honour awarded to the Argentines of serving the monarch as cupbearer at the coronation feast. William was the last Argentine to render this service, but the right and the entitlement to perform it continued for a further 400 years. Looking at the floor in the Lady Chapel, you'll see a ledger slab of Sir William near the coat of arms and may be underwhelmed. We might expect that an Argentine who distinguished himself in various public fields might have merited a more impressive memorial. The ledger slab alongside, as recorded by the 19th century Suffolk historian Suckling, is the memorial of a local gentleman, William Claxton, from Chedderstone. Please proceed to your right to station 6. From this viewpoint can be seen on the high windows of the south side the only remaining medieval glass displaying the Argentine arms in colour. Beneath are the Argentine arms quartered with the Allington arms denoting the merging of bloodlines, Allington and Argentine. Now we turn to the south wall above the choir stalls, where you'll see an unusual memorial on board, in rather poor condition. You may be able to decipher the sad story written on the gilded banner beneath the shields. A young Cambridge scholar, Richard Asherton, died in Halesworth in 1641 while visiting his great uncle, James Asherton, who was rector here. He was buried in the chancel, some distance from the family home in Kirby, Yorkshire. His mother, Catherine, born at Brereton, seems to have taken a major role in the events which followed. Note the third shield from the quartering into 24 segments. These provide details of her lineage, which of course are also those of her deceased son. The heraldic account of her lineage leads us to believe that at some point, possibly at William's birth, since it is on record that his mother was of high birth, an ancestor of the Brereton line converged with that of the Argentines. Some 250 years later, and in the wake of burying her son, Catherine was moved to display her lineage with the Argentine Memorial Chapel. This is recounted in pictographic symbols on shields, alongside the medieval carvings dating back to the Argentine burials in the late 14th and early 15th centuries. If you turn towards the organ now, you'll see it is partially obscuring the chapel arch and prevents access to view the inner face, on which are memorial carvings. Fortunately, we have managed sufficient access to take photographs, which you will see at station 7, as you proceed to your right. Two new photos have been added. One shows how the chancel we have just left looked before the organ was installed there. The other is of a newly discovered carving. Looking at the earlier carvings, those of the Argentine family are on the pillars, as is the shield with the Argentine arms. All the others are shields and displayed on the curved arch above. First, the family carvings. William himself is not amongst them. The gentleman you see in the separate photograph came later and is probably the first Allington Lord of Halesworth Manor. Also a Sir William. This could have been placed as a signatory marker at the same time as the new coat of arms, merging the Allington arms with those of the Argentines, whose was set in the stained glass panel see earlier. The carving is somewhat damaged, but reveals interesting details. The clothing suggests a period which conforms with the period William Allington inherited the Argentine estates, the year he married Sir William Argentine's granddaughter, Elizabeth, 1424. Opposite this, on the west side of the Guardian Line, always on the alert, with eyes wide open. Above the line is an angel, with the second angel positioned directly opposite. They have the appearance of being the study of a young woman, to which angel wings have been added. Above the angel on the west pillar, resplendent in medieval headdress, is a woman whose identity is still being considered. It occupies a prime site opposite the supposed Sir John Argentine IV. Margaret Darcy, Sir John's wife, who died in 1383, is buried in the chapel. We would have expected her to occupy this position. However, the headdress adds to the interpretation. Although it was in fashion for a broad period of time, the most similar example so far found is dated 1411 to 1422, making a stronger contender Sir William's mother, echoing the pairing in the niche on the outside buttress. On the west pillar, above the Lady Chapel in the headdress, sits the Argentine arms. This was most likely positioned here after Sir John or Lady Margaret's death. If you look closely, it appears to be tampered with. In heraldic terms, this is known as differencing, informing us that the bearer of the arms was illegitimate. On the curved arch above the pillars, medieval and 17th century shields share the space on both sides. Starting at the top in prominence is the shield of Catherine Brereton, second left, top row of photos, adorned with strawberry leaves, indicating that the shield represents Catherine. It displays a crown under which is a half wheel, a personalised adaptation, perhaps, of St Catherine's wheel. On the opposite side is the bishop's mitre. Its position suggests that a bishop sanctioned the additions to the chapel. Identified by the strawberry leaf adornment are two more shields that can be attributed to Catherine. The saltire, second row, and harp, third row, inform of the Brereton Scottish and Irish ancestral connections. Another shield, third row, displays a rose and crescent, and is as yet unidentified. The fourth, positioned above it on the arch, fourth row of photos, is blank but has foliage, consistent in style with its contemporaries. There is one other that may be attributed to Catherine. This is the shield, first left on the second row, bearing a Saxon crown with a descending arrow, which reads as descending from a Saxon crown. It could be Catherine sharing this information, but we are mindful that the information could also have been available and displayed earlier. The remaining medieval shields appear to be the earliest, placed in the position when the arch was in its earlier purpose as a chapel of Our Lady. Facing each other near the apex is the Roman cross and the crossed swords. These both could be emblems of the Crusades. Beneath them is the emblem of St. Lawrence the Martyr, a saint much venerated in the Roman Catholic Church. The carving represents a grill, the instrument of his torture and death by burning. Opposite is the carving of holly and ivy, representing Jesus and Mary. And finally, below that, the papal keys, reminding us of our church's building's Roman Catholic heritage. Finally, turn and look at the building behind you. Excluding the outer south aisle and part of the north aisle, you are looking at a church building much as it was at the beginning of the 15th century, when Sir William completed the project. We can certainly say that his ambitions are fulfilling the test of time. We hope that his legacy will continue to be sustained and protected, not only by this generation, but also by those who are yet to come. Our tour concludes here. Thank you for your interest. Please ask a guide if you would like to know how you might support or join the Friends of St. Mary's, or contribute to the Regeneration Fund.